I said, finally, I'll go on 14 dates, and that's it. No more investment than that. And I really didn't think anything would come of it.
Welcome to The Zoo, a podcast mini-series about online dating. I'm Sophie Nikitas. If you can't tell from my voice, I'm a millennial. And a lot of the people that I featured on this podcast are millennials. But today is different, and I'm really excited about it. Today, we're going to hear from Mary. She's 74, and about 3 years ago, she decided to join OkCupid and Match.com.
My daughter, Caitlin, had met her boyfriend and now husband through online dating, and she thought I should try it. And I said, no, it'll be a waste of time. I was married twice, and both times the people I was married to were depressed and had had bad childhoods. I was in the helping profession. I was working as a psychologist and as a teacher, and I think my instinct is to take care of people, and she saw me doing that in the marriages.
Mary had tried dating after her second divorce. Remember when people would post personals in the paper? Or at least when that was more common? She did that.
You would, in a very short time, have to describe yourself. So I would just say, attractive. and everybody said attractive. So it didn't tell you much. And that was very discouraging, frankly. I've dated other people that I've met at church or different places, but nobody really clicked, and I thought at this point in life, probably wouldn't find anybody that I really cared a whole lot about.
Most of her friends are afraid to try online dating. She says they've heard the horror stories, they're scared to meet strangers on the internet, they're just not interested.
One of them tried it, and even though she's a beautiful woman, but she's older, she's probably close to 80, and she said people aren't looking for somebody her age. She has not had success. And I did find that men were generally looking for women that were quite a bit younger. I had been going out just to dinner and to movies sometimes with a guy from church, but I really wasn't excited about that relationship. It was just a companion to do some things with. And I, when Caitlin asked me about doing it, I really thought, well, if it did work, that would really be nice. I would like that. It would be worthwhile. So I agreed to do it.
There was this one guy that caught her attention. They got along great online.
He organized a bunch of songs and pictures for me and kind of a show that I could watch on my computer. And he was very witty. And I really enjoyed communicating with him. He seemed, though, never to be willing to meet. So he always had excuses. You know, I kept saying, well, when are we going to meet? And my Caitlin's boyfriend said, something's wrong, you know, he shouldn't be putting you off for this long. He finally did agree to meet, and the day before, he emailed me and said, I have to tell you this, I was, I think they call them tunnel rat in Vietnam. They go down in the tunnels, and it's a very dangerous thing. But anyway, he was exposed to Agent Orange. I was kind of shocked, you know, but I didn't know, you know, how much it affected him or anything. And I said, well, you know, let's meet. And we did. I recognized him when he walked in from his profile picture, although he was more fragile looking in person, and I think he had lost weight. It affected his gait, and his speech was a little hard to understand. It reminded me very much of somebody with Parkinson's disease. He had gotten there by bus, and he when at the end of the evening he was going to go home on the bus. And I thought, oh, you know, that's going to take a long time. I can give him a lift. That's what had kicked in me, this instinct to take care of him and protect him. And I talked to my other daughter about it, and she said, oh, you've been a caretaker in your marriage, and she said, you don't want to do that at the start of a relationship. And I asked my daughter, well, what do you do when you know it's the end of the coffee date and you know you don't want to see the person again? She just said, well, shake their hand and say, it was really nice meeting you today. So I told him, I was pretty honest. I said, I'd like to continue to be friends and to do things, but I just didn't think it would be, you know, maybe the kind of relationship he was looking for. But it was pretty clear that hurt him deeply, and I felt bad about that. We had talked about playing chess together. Maybe a month later, I emailed him again. I said, how about that chess game? Are we going to have it? And he never responded, never emailed back.
Mary had been kind of counting on this guy. She had been excited. And then it didn't work out. And that was hard. But there was a silver lining.
Sort of knowing that relationship wasn't going to work out sort of freed me to be open to other relationships.
While Mary had been chatting online with the Vietnam vet, she had also been going on dates with a man named Norm. They had been meeting up to go dancing.
Beginning waltz and beginning foxtrot. And then we tried some tango lessons from a woman who taught tango in her home. We sort of decided, I think we gave it three times maybe, and decided tango wasn't quite for us.
After a couple weeks of dancing lessons, and 2 days after Mary meets up with the Vietnam vet, she and Norm are going to play bridge.
See, that night is when we met for dinner before the bridge, and we talked bridge, and you probably wouldn't understand if you're not a bridge player, but you can get pretty passionate about bridge. And that's when the sparks began to fly as we were talking about bridge that night. When you play bridge, you use different conventions. And the more you play, the longer you play, the more you work at it, the more conventions you learn. And we had some wine with our dinner. That probably contributed as well. And when we came back, we had fun playing, but we were clearly better players than the other couple. That night, I kind of couldn't wait for the other couple to leave. And he kissed me goodnight. That was the first time. And from then on, we made plans every week to be doing something. It took Norm and I a long time to really click. I mean, we liked each other. He was a nice person. But it took 2 months. So don't, give somebody some time if you like them and see if anything more will develop. He's on a farm, and it's a very comfortable place, but it's dominated by animals. He has two cats and a dog. They have free rein everywhere in the house. And outside, he's got two llamas, three horses, a bunch of chickens, and a duck. So, and I live in the city, and I love the city. And I'm so close to theater and good restaurants and all the good things of city life. So I enjoy my city life, and I enjoy going out to the country for a retreat on the weekends. We really love each other, which I never expected to find.
Mary and Norm are still together, They're still commuting to each other's houses, and they're very happy. If you have a story to share, you can email me at azoopodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear it. Record it in a voice memo, or just write me an email. It's up to you. And one more thing, the first episode of this podcast is being featured on another podcast. That show is called Radio North. It's these beautiful, in-depth stories about Minnesota and the people who live here. So go check it out.